Hey, y'all. My name's Alex, and this is my beautiful wife, Jen. We are in our 11th year of marriage now. The first five of it was a dumpster fire, as we will detail. Then we met Jesus. And while it's not all been up and to the right, things have definitely changed. We are completely new. I think we have a couple of slides. So we got married back in 2012, and that was us during our wedding day before we met Jesus. Next slide is our family. This was from a few years ago, but we have three girls. We're a blended family. Our youngest, both of our youngest, they're the same age, have just graduated, and that's going to be, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? So we were sitting in the audience of our first re-engaged large group in Plano, Texas, at what was Watermark Plano at the time, in September of 2016. At the time, I was a self-described agnostic and Jen was an atheist. Jen had felt as though her heart had been violently ripped out of her chest and stomped on only a few weeks before that. She had discovered pictures on my phone, which eventually led to the discovery of an affair I was having with a woman at work. So, although we did not recognize it as we sat awkwardly together out in the crowd that late summer evening, God was up to something. He was about to turn our lives upside down. And little did we know it, but that night would be an inflection point in our lives.
So discovering Alex's unfaithfulness, it broke me, and my heart was torn. Part of me wanted to move as far away as possible and forget Alex had ever even been part of my life. Part of me wanted to end my life to make that pain of betrayal stop. And some strange part of me wanted to stay in our marriage. We agreed to follow the advice of Alex's brother to explore re-engage. But let's go back to the very beginning to see how we arrived here at this night that we're talking about and what happened when we invited Christ into our lives.
So my biological mother shared who Jesus was when I was very young, although I never knew him until my conversion in 2016. She and my father separated when I was a baby and later divorced when I was three. And 4 years after that, she told my older sister and me that her dad, who lived in Japan, had become ill and she needed to go care for him. I would never see her again. My dad and stepmom were not believers, and consequently, they did not share the gospel with us, and I didn't have a relationship with God. I do believe my parents did the best they could as non-believers. However, my worldview was very much of the world, and my father placed a high premium on academic and athletic performance in our family while I was growing up. This led me to believe that if I wasn't a high achiever, I was worthless. When I was 11, I was first introduced to porn and subsequently discovered masturbation, and that marked the first steps toward a life of sexual immorality. So throughout high school, college, and on into medical school, I was desperately lonely. I was viewed by girls as friend material and became depressed, lamenting that I would never find anybody who loved me. My longest relationships only lasted a few months and were mostly based around sex. When I was 24 and in my third year of medical school, I met my first wife. She was in a relationship at the time we met. We eventually married, but then subsequently divorced 11 short months later when I left her for another woman. And this pretty much became my modus operandi. Find a girl who is unhappy in her relationship, become her friend, flirt with her, console her, then offer her something that I considered better. So I learned to be the good guy, quote unquote, taking an interest in each woman and her pain. And this led me to become an expert at grooming women. By doing this, I could avoid rejection, yet I pushed the envelope as far as I could, seduced women, and led them down the path into an emotional, then a physical relationship. And I did this with anyone I found attractive, regardless of their marital status. So after my first marriage, I started seeing multiple women at the same time and was sleeping with as many as I could. I was completely out of control, but I, one, didn't seem to realize it, and two, I still had this insatiable craving to be loved, but loved perfectly. I only now realize that this perfect love I was seeking represented that hole in my heart that God created as a place for him and him alone. In my arrogance, I was looking to fill that God-sized hole by the women I was pursuing, an impossible task for anybody who tried. So I bounced from one relationship to another, from one marriage to the next. With one divorce under my belt, I married my second wife. We had a daughter, but I continued to pursue other women. This marriage was soon in turmoil after several affairs were discovered, and toward the end of this second marriage, I met Jen.
I grew up in Northern California with mom, dad, and my younger brother. My folks both worked demanding jobs that required late nights and travel, so we spent a lot of time with my nanny. On the weekends, my folks entertained often. Alcohol was an ever-present part of our home and a source of conflict when the drinking would go overboard. As I look back, I recall many fun family vacations to Maui and to Sun River, Oregon, but probably remember most how we spoke in our home. Women and their bodies were often topics of conversation, so as a child, I put a high value on outward appearance and thought very little of my own modesty and protecting my purity. Speaking critically about others was also a regular occurrence, and I actively participated by gossiping and tearing people down. I firmly believe my folks did the very best they could to raise me and my brother, but without God anchoring our family, as my parents are both non-believers, we lived according to our own sinful desires, as 1 John 2:16 describes. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. So alcoholism, body image, self-righteousness, and attention-seeking behaviors became major uphill battles for me as a teenager. I drank heavily through high school until an intervention by brave friends and school counselors occurred, as well as used my body and my sport of long-distance running as tools to gain attention and affirmation. At the age of 22, I married my first husband, and I came into that marriage with a truckload of uncommunicated hopes and desires. And when these quickly morphed into unmet expectations, I was convinced I had married the wrong person. By the age of 27, we had two daughters and a relationship that felt dead on the vine, so I suggested a move to Texas as a final Hail Mary. But once the newness of this cross-country move wore off, I was ready to divorce, as I felt my husband was the sole problem within our marriage. And within days of, I guess you could call it an epiphany, my path crossed with Alex's. And while there was no immediate physical component to our relationship, sparks were flying, and we became engaged in an emotional affair. In my total self-absorption and callousness, I filed for divorce to pursue a relationship with Alex. And I gave no thought to how deeply this would wound my husband or the fact that I had forced the word divorce to forever be a part of my daughter's stories. So Alex and I, we eventually married. He saw our picture in 2012, and we became a dysfunctional blended family almost overnight. We both brought in so much unresolved pain from our prior marriages into this new marriage, and between us, we now had three daughters. As we look back, we weren't remotely prepared to raise one another's children or deal with the complexities of joint custody and ex-spouses, so there was rampant fighting and hardened hearts toward one another and toward each other's children. So our marriage is a mess, but I also personally and professionally was a mess. I started bouncing between sales jobs. At one point, I began running marathons and doing triathlons all in the same year in a quest, in a desperate quest, to find attention and affirmation I had craved since childhood. There was such a hollowness and a void inside of my heart, and I couldn't, for the life of me, figure out how to fix it.
So Paul writes in Romans 7:19, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." So despite the revolving door of women, I knew in my heart that there was something different about Jen. Although I desired to be different, without God in my life, I remained a hopeless slave to my sinful patterns and continued grooming women, seeking inappropriate sexual relationships, sexting, along with porn and masturbation. I knew something was wrong, but I also knew that I couldn't be authentic. I would lose everything if all of the sins of my past and our present at that time were revealed to Jen. I was trying to be better, but I also continued to manage and hide my sin. However, during the summer of 2016, my house of cards came crashing down when the affair I was having with a coworker was discovered. I moved out of our home and life went into a tailspin. My brother, who is a believer, saw an opportunity and recommended we get help through Reengage.
So y'all, this was a wild recommendation. Up to this point in my life, the word that came to mind when on rare occasion thinking about faith, church, or God was the word farce. I wore my unbelief like a badge of honor throughout my life, and I fully subscribed to the world's hierarchy of good and bad. As long as I wasn't committing crimes or as bad as the person next to me, I thought I was a pretty good person. I used to tell people that one of the best things about being an atheist was going to an empty grocery store on Sunday mornings while everybody else was at church. And here I was. I was being encouraged to humble myself, to walk into a church and seek help from the people I had mocked for decades. Luke 14:11 says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I remember meeting Alex up in Plano at Reengage that first night. We had about 10 feet in between us, and we awkwardly walked in together. I figured this program would fix him. But God had something so much bigger in store for me. We watched as a small band came up on the stage that night and played a song that we just heard, "Oh, Come to the Altar."
And thank you, Doug.
Yes, thank you. That was so beautiful. And I heard the verse, "Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling." And I sat in my seat that night and I wept. I was so thirsty, and how gratifying it was to finally give this depleted, empty feeling inside a name. And then we watched a couple walk up on stage. It was Ryan and Callie Nixon right here from Watermark. And they detailed out what a mess their marriage was and how someone named Jesus had saved it. I had no buoy to cling to at this point, and so I clung to Reengage, where week after week, through worship and testimonies and teachings, the scales fell from my blinded eyes, and God revealed who he truly was to me.
I'm going to go off script here a little bit, and just wanted to share that almost two weeks ago to the date, we were sitting in Jerusalem with our home church, a group from our home church, in the Garden Tomb, in a little chapel there, taking communion and singing worship songs. And our leaders, in a very sweet, full circle moment, led out with that same song, "Oh, Come to the Altar," knowing that this was part of our story. So a very sweet, full circle moment to be able to sing that and to praise him in the probably the place that our Savior had overcome death in the tomb. So that was amazing. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Because we weren't living together at this point, I assumed Jen only knew about the one affair. I couldn't possibly tell her about everything. That would surely be the end. But going to Reengage, I kept hearing the same thing. Tell the whole truth. So every time I saw Jen, I would tell her about another woman. I can only imagine the pain she experienced. "Please tell me this is all," she implored. It was awful because that wasn't all of it, and I knew it. So this trickle of information eroded any remaining trust she had in me. Throughout Reengage Open Group, I prayed to a God I didn't know, not really sure how to pursue a relationship with him. Then God made his presence known to me, and I couldn't ignore it. In 6 short weeks, the following happened. First, I tore every major ligament in my remaining good knee playing the sport I love, soccer. It was the last game I would ever play and the first time I ever scored a hat trick, which is 3 goals, in a competitive match. Very sweet of him to give me that nice parting gift. So, surgery then followed, which gave me time off as my brother discipled me at that time. Second, I discovered the father of my daughter's swim friend was grooming her over text and Instagram. So while children were not part of my addiction, it made me realize that I was no different than him. I had told many women that they were beautiful over the years and asked them to send me pictures, just as this man did with my daughter. Next, we were finally placed in a closed group in Reengage, and I lost the job that I had where my affair partner worked. God took what I thought was a difficult decision to leave, and he made it easy. And finally, I made the most important decision I'll ever make. I finally trusted Christ with my heart and my life, while in the context, at the same time, deciding to disclose all of my sexual past to Jen, and it was a lot. James 5:16 reads, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." After 6 weeks of preparation under the supervision of a counselor, I finally confessed all of my sexual sin to Jen from about the time I was 10 years old up through the present at that time. And after that two-hour-long disclosure was completed, I felt deflated and thought our story might end in divorce. But God, on January 2nd, 2017, just 3 days after the disclosure, our reengaged group gathered around the fire pit at our leader's home, and to my amazement, Jen was there. We were able to share our pain and even smile and laugh. I don't know about you, but in what world does that ever happen? Wow, I thought to myself, this God is some amazing God that I can share such hurtful things, but he can keep us moving toward reconciliation.
During this season in Reengage, God was replacing this recovering atheist's heart of stone, teaching me that I was his clay and he was the potter. I remember first reading in a Bible that Alex gave me, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And I held so tightly to this promise that good would someday come out of this dark season. So Christ taught me how everything begins with admitting my brokenness, accepting his death as payment for my sins, and obediently choosing to follow him. So together with Jesus, I learned how to draw a circle around myself and embark on the journey of fixing the one person inside of it. I learned concepts like love being a verb, not a feeling, what a marriage marked by humility looks like, along with what poor communication and conflict habits I'd brought into our marriage. So Alex and I eventually reconciled, and in the summer of 2017, we renewed our wedding vows and were baptized in that same ceremony right behind us in the pond. I love watermark. While I had willingly followed God's command to recommit to our marriage, my heart still was not right. Somewhere along the journey, I had given Alex the label of sex addict, and I weaponized it. I used this label to wound him whenever I saw fit. That saying, hurt people, that described me to a T. And so given that I was still afloat in a sea of unforgiveness, I followed Alex's decision to go through Watermark's 12-step recovery ministry called Regeneration, a year-long biblical recovery program for those with hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
So I went through Regeneration following completion of Reengage, and I was such a star that they wanted me to go through it again, and I did. Okay, that's not exactly true. When I went through Regen in 2017, I worked through my obvious outward sins of lust, pride, and people-pleasing. In the summer of 2019, however, after a relapse into porn along with control issues coming to the surface, I felt my next best step would be to do a deeper dive through a second round of Regen. And during the second round, I homed in on my desire for control. But I discovered through that process that the desire to control was just a manifestation of comfort-seeking behavior, which had leached its way into nearly every facet of my life. So having been equipped with an understanding that comfort-seeking is my go-to refuge apart from God, I can be more fully known through a community of fellow brothers in Christ who can jump in and help redirect me toward what God would want for me, not from me. So God placed me in Regen at the perfect time. It was during a season in which my daughter struggled mightily with severe depression and anxiety, a struggle I had absolutely no control over. And I found that God was directing me to love as he loves, meeting others where they are instead of trying to control the outcome. God was showing me that my reliance on him is directly correlated with the way I love my daughter, Jen, and others, that I must put on the armor of his truth and grace in order to respond with the love he showed me and would want for me.
In regeneration, I learned that while I was wounded by Alex's choices, I was so angry with God for the story he had chosen and written for my life. I simply could not wrap my head around why God would allow bad things to happen to a good person. And it took a year-long battle with my pride to understand that not only was I not a good person, but in fact a wretch, a black-hearted sinner that Christ had to give his very life up to save. I learned that Christ had forgiven me of so much more than I was being asked to forgive Alex for. He had leveled the playing field, helping me to finally see that Alex and I, we both sin equally. It just looks very different for each of us. So this opened the door to earnestly forgiving Alex, and how freeing it felt to finally no longer be weighed down by an unforgiving heart and be able to love my husband the way that God would want for me. And you remember that promise of Romans 8:28 that he works all things for good? God connected the dots for me in regen in his beautifully perfect plan. The extramarital affairs that he brought into the light led us to salvation, and it resurrected our marriage. Our mess became our message and is now our ministry. All praise to him.
Speaking of our ministry, over the past year and a half, God has been preparing our hearts for this next season of life, which is now upon us. Our youngest daughters just graduated high school, and we will become empty nesters this summer. A seed was planted back in 2021. We were invited to share our story at a church in Colorado. And after that trip, we began dreaming what it could look like to share this story of hope with the nearly 500 churches around the country that have reengaged. So as we started going down that rabbit hole, God began flinging doors open left and right. So with the support of the National Reengage Ministry Team, Robert, Robbie, and Melinda Parisi, basically we're kicking this off. So in essence, we finally kicked off the story of this ministry in February of this year. And by the end of 2023, we will have shared our message, his message, to ministries from North Carolina to Alaska. After a few months of sharing by means of short trips, we're about to take our biggest step yet. After much prayer and counsel, we listed our home for sale and are in the process of selling all of our possessions and just purchased a 43-foot RV, which we plan to move into full-time, and we're going all in on wherever God may take this ministry.
We are going to be putting many Reengage principles to work. While in a box together. Okay, so nearly 7 years ago, we sat where you are. We did not believe in God, and I personally was exhausted from nearly four decades of total self-reliance and self-worship. But now, it's totally different. We're totally different. For any fans out there of the TV show The Chosen, there's this piercing quote from Mary in season one that captures our story so perfectly in a single sentence. She said, "I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him." So today we implore you to consider that God can change anything. He has the power to redeem what we consider unredeemable, to heal what we consider fatally wounded, to make our worst chapters our greatest victories. There is hope, hope in him. Paul writes in Titus 3:3-5, "We were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit."
So we want to just encourage you all to, one, look with your eyes and listen with your ears to hear the stories of change occurring in the lives of those around you. And two, please just keep coming back, even when it's hard, to assess for yourself if all that you see happening here is normal based on the current cultural standard of the world around you. Then ask yourself, what is the common thread behind all of these hard-to-believe and sometimes ridiculous stories of resurrected marriages and relationships? There's only one word, one name, and that's Jesus. Thank you for letting us share.